Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is your host, John Nasheed, New Mind Development Project, focusing on issues of concern. Peace be upon you all, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And once again, this is your host, this is John Nasheed, and what we have been covering for the last maybe 2 weeks, this is the third week, the history of Al-Islam in Westchester. And what we're trying to do is establish some light on the establishments of Islam in Westchester County. And I'm pretty certain there are many, many of us Muslims in this area who have stories that need to be told, documented. And the best way to do it is to publish it on the media or forum or whatever the case, and write books and things of that nature. Because if we don't tell our own story, nobody else will. And, you know, Islam is growing in America, thank God, but people are not conscious or really understanding of what Islam or Al-Islam truly, truly is. It means the peace or the submission to God. And it's not only just for what we call Muslims when we go to the mosque and make prayers and things of that nature, but God created all human beings in peace. So, and technically, we're all Muslim. We just have to accept it. And each and every one of us who is a Muslim, he accepts it by giving what we call the Shahada, declaring his faith openly in public to at least one person and many others. So this is what we are attempting to do. We would like to document. Last couple of weeks, I think we talked about the establishment of Islam, where we started from in New Rochelle, and how we moved to Mount Vernon, established Masjid Yusuf Shah at Mount Vernon, which is functioning today, right now. It's functioning in 2023. We started way back in New Rochelle. I think it was in 1980 or 79, and we're still progressing along. So we want to take this time to document. And today we'd like to cover a few areas that I myself personally was involved in, and I can document this. And I'm pretty certain, as I've mentioned, if there's other Muslims in this Westchester area who participated, we should also. And if there are also Muslims in any area, African-American Muslims under the leadership of Imam Mu'azzin Muhammad, who came through the Nation of Islam and came into Islam proper under Imam Mu'azzin Muhammad, we should document that, because we don't want to confuse our work with the work of immigrants that came to the country after us. Because when immigrants got here, the foundation for Islam was already established. Although we didn't have the resources, etc., we at least established the foundation for the development of Islam in America. And we want to make these things clear, and we want to make them very, very plain. Today I'd like to talk about Westchester County Jail. Islam, prior to myself receiving a letter from inmates, Muslim inmates, many of them were knowledgeable, had some knowledge of Islam from being upstate New York in prisons or federal prison. They had found out about me, and they wrote me a letter at the mosque in Mount Vernon, of which I was the imam, and they wanted to meet with me. But before I could meet with the inmates, I had to sit before a board of supervisors. I think it maybe was around a long conference table. It was quite a few. I'd say, well, maybe not 20, but maybe 15. In other words, it was crowded. And it was chaired by the Christian priest, a Catholic fellow. And one of the main things that he wanted to know was, who ordained me? In other words, the nerve of me to come up here without being ordained by some institution. So I explained to him our process of how we become imams. And he got really red-faced fellow. You know, I don't know if he was just red-faced or I don't know. But at any rate, he seemed to appear to be very, very angry. And he asked me a whole lot of different questions. And I just remained mute. I didn't pay him too much attention. And I told him all that, you know, I came here to volunteer my services, not to be insulted. So I walked out. And as I was walking out, the program director was there. And she convinced me not to go because her job was to actually provide someone for the inmates so they could have Islamic services and all the things that Christians and other people have. And the inmates, what they were really looking for, they were looking for their Islamic rights as inmates. They weren't being provided with the proper meals, the proper services, counselings, and things of that nature, things that all individuals, all prisoners are due by constitution. I really didn't know until I really had some dialogue and contact with non-Muslims in the institution how ignorant they were about Islam. Very, very ignorant. The media had exposed Islam as some terrorist kinds of religions. And if you don't go out and do your own study and research to try to understand better what is a terrorist religion? It doesn't even make sense, right? So very ignorant. But one thing that these administrators understood, they understood the First Amendment, and they understood the brilliance of many of these inmates and how they can articulate the Constitution and laws, things about the court, etc. And they also understood freedom of religion and lawsuits. And I was working in the prison for a number of years and reading articles on class action suits that inmates had written for not receiving their constitutional First Amendment rights, and filing class action suits to get monies for many different people. So I think they understood that also, and they were trying to cover their tracks. So I came in as a volunteer in the evening, even while I was working as the imam in a masjid in Mount Vernon, and I also had my own personal business, John the Glazer, Sons and Daughters. So it was a lot of heavy weight, but, you know, during those times early on, we were striving to accomplish something. And we know hard trials are necessary to establish truth. And thank God I had a wonderful wife who took care of business while I was out doing the development stage of our Islamic practice. And she was very helpful. Brothers were very selfish. Some of the brothers very selfish. Their intentions were their own personal self. They wanted to get what they can get. And quite naturally, we can understand that because we're talking about prison. And some of the brothers were very serious about Islam. They saw it as their religion, and they were only trying to get what they were supposed to have. Very sincere brothers. So we had a mix, just like in society, you know. But we took on the challenge, and I was able to, with the help of Allah, I was able to establish the Juma prayers over time. We had study classes. We had even Ramadan and the Ramadan meals, special Ramadan meals for the 30 days of fasting Ramadan. And Ramadan this year is coming up this month on the 23rd, March 23rd. So be conscious of that. So we had the Eid celebrations after the two Eids or two celebrations that we have. Also, personal counseling. So this was a big, big responsibility that I had taken on with God's help to establish these things. I didn't have any help. Maybe every now and then I can get somebody to come in and do the Juma services or come in for the Eid and give a talk. But basically, it was all on me. And all of these things had to be established. They had to be set up. They had to be put into the laws and rules that had to be put into the computers, et cetera, in the Westchester County Jail and the Westchester administration. So we're documented in Westchester County Department of Correction. And quite honestly, God knows best. And then over a period of time, they started supplying us with Qurans. I would order like 5 cases of Qurans at a time, and I would distribute the Qurans to the inmates who wanted to read, and also Christians or anyone else who wanted. I would supply the Islamic materials. We had a brother in the Bronx. He would give out free books. I purchased many books myself. I remember there was a Jewish fellow. He couldn't find a Torah, the Torah. He didn't want the first revelation. He wanted a Torah. And I went out and I found a Torah and bought it for him, gave it to him, you know, because I wasn't there just to support or push Islam. I was there to support and push religion. So it's very important. The first first administration made it very, very unpleasant for me. I had a very hard time, you know, making the adjustments. And then later on, we had a new supervisor chaplain, African-American man, and he also made it unpleasant. One of his biggest concerns was that the Muslims didn't speak out against the Christians. And I was concerned, too, that the Christians didn't speak out against the Muslims. But nonetheless, over a period of time, we gradually reduced these complaints down to a minimum. And then I had to travel throughout the prison. Westchester County Department of Correction is a pretty good facility to cover multiple locations. We had a new jail, an old jail, a pen, female unit, and I also had to deal with the females. And this is a very serious job, dealing with inmate females is much more. So all of the services that we had were separated over a long distance. And thank God I was pretty healthy at that particular time. When I retired, I believe I was about 79 years old, but I was still hacking it around. I was taking care of the business because the mission was more important to me to establish it right. And even the food service lady, the diet, the took care of the diets, she even had to thank me because many of the inmates was conning her about what they were supposed to get at the eat. And she had a big, long shopping list buying all sorts of things because she felt that it was mandatory because the inmate told her that. But when I told her what was required Islamically and if anything she wanted to do extra, that would be good. And she really looked out for us. See, sometimes it's better to tell the truth than to try to get over. And quite nasty, God knows best. After about 20 years of service, right, things began to change a little bit. It got a little easier. You know, administration was more respectful. I was more respectful because it was kind of a tit for tat. When they would accuse me, I'd write a memo just like they write a memo. And eventually we came, and I told them that when you stop disrespecting Islam, I'll stop writing memos. They stopped disrespecting Islam, and I stopped writing memos. Thank God. So now we're on a pretty even keel, and things are going very good. Inmates are shaping up. They're learning more. They're more respectful. And I begin to meet many of the officers that we had hard times at first, and then we begin to become more respectful of one another. See, once when a person sees what you are really about, and really they're testing you, trying you to see who you really are. This is what ignorant person, if you don't understand, if you tell them one thing, he's going to push you to see if you can stand up. Trials and tribulations, hard trials are necessary, but it didn't concern me because I knew what I was. I knew what Islam was. I knew that Allah was God. I understood Prophet Muhammad. And I followed the leadership that we had in Imam Mu'adhi Muhammad, and I was very comfortable with it, and I was able to stay there for 38 years, 38 long years in the Westchester County Department of Correction. Now, when I got around to the point where come to retirement, 2000 and when did I retire? 2022 or 2021. I was surprised. I was very much surprised. Our commissioner, he came on later on. He was always respectful, always a good guy. Actually, he used to be a correction officer. He was the union, and now he's finishing out as a commission. I don't know how he swung that, but nonetheless, he was a decent guy, at least to me anyway. And they had planned with my supervisor, I call her my supervisor because she really is the supervisor. She's the one that took care of all the business. And they planted it behind my back. They were talking to my daughter, talking to my family, and they were planning for me a retirement luncheon. And when I came into the room, there was an announcement over the speaker, Imam Nasheed, come to headquarters. So I came to headquarters, and I came in the door, and I saw the administration there, many wardens and the chaplaincy department. And then when I came in, they told me to turn around and look, and I looked up on the wall. There's a big screen. It was a Zoom camera, and my whole family was on the camera. And, you know, I got a little emotional. I had to walk out the door and kind of get myself together. But when I came back in, you know, all my family members had something to say. I made some comments. This is documented. This is what I'm telling you. It's not just about me and being awarded or any kind of thing. We're documenting history. And I received an award from the commissioner, from his office, from the county. The head of the county, he gave me a proclamation. And also my chaplaincy department, they also gave me an award. So I was very impressed by my whole career. I was impressed by what we had to go through to overcome to establish Islam proper. And that was my main purpose. My main goal was to make sure I'm not a scholar or educated imam in that sense, but I know what's right and wrong. I know that. And if we can establish that, if that could be established, right, that's all that's necessary. And somebody will come behind me. And I had a young man that I was training maybe the last couple of years. He would come in and he would shadow me around. And then I took the shadow off and put more responsibility on. I see he didn't want to really do it, but he did it. He went out and took care of his business. And when I retired, he filled the space. He's a young African-American man. He's knowledgeable in Arabic. He's knowledgeable about the religion. And I haven't heard any complaints. The only thing I heard about him since I left, that he was doing a very good job. So this is documentation. And I say, get out here, Muslims. If you were in Westchester County or Muslim anywhere, following the leadership of Imam Warithi Muhammad, write about it, talk about it on the Facebook or Twitter or whatever the case, and document our history so nobody else documents it for us. And then another situation was during the time that I was in the jail, I was also invited to be a human rights commissioner. And maybe from 2000, maybe about 4 or 5 years. And I think what they wanted was an Islamic perspective. Matter of fact, I know that's what they wanted. You know, we had an opportunity to vote for the head, but the leader of the Human Rights Commission. And we had many people. And one of the people there that was running for the position, she was a Jewish lady, very qualified, and another African-American lady. Not so qualified, but she was pushing it. You know, I made a statement about the Jewish lady that I did support and voted for. And actually, in the end, she won. And African-American, she didn't win, so we never saw her again. So obviously, she wasn't a good candidate in the first place. And sometimes you could see it's not about race or you looking for the best qualified person for the position. But I stayed there while we interviewed people. We didn't have any powers to make anybody do anything. You know, we didn't have any authority in that respect. But we would question people, get information from them, and try to help them along. Immigrant people who came didn't really understand the process, their human rights. We were trying to protect them and guide them in the right place to White Plains, where White Plains had the authority to do whatever was necessary to be done. So that was a good experience that we had also. And they saw me as a Muslim, an imam, a Muslim. And when I retired, my masjid, they gave me a party, a celebration, a dinner, a big dinner, down there by the sound. And the commissioner and her husband, they attended. And actually, the chaplain, the head chaplain, this is a new chaplain. Now he's a Catholic fellow, young guy, Father Paul. He even came. And what really impressed him when we stopped for prayer, and it was everybody stopped and lined up. Matter of fact, he lined up right along with us and prayed. And I heard him tell many of the people at the prison about our prayer, how it was conducted, etc. So that's a good thing. And everybody don't have to be a Muslim to be a Muslim. All you have to be is a good person, submit your will to God, and God will bless you. Don't let anybody else judge you to tell you where you're going to go or what you're going to do. God knows best. And then another situation that I'd like to mention, I was made an honorary police for Westchester County Police. As a matter of fact, I have a badge. I got a badge that has chaplain on it, but it's a regular police badge. I went to a ceremony up in Valhalla, the Westchester Police Barracks, I think they call it. And it was myself, it was a Christian fellow, and it was a Jewish fellow. And we had a little conversation, and we took the pledge. I took a pledge, and they awarded me with the badge honorary, right? If they ever needed me for anything, any advice or whatever the case, then quite nasty, they would call me. They probably would even call me now, seeing that they don't know too many imams in the area. And, you know, I think that's documented. Matter of fact, I know it's documented. I saw it in the paper, Westchester County, police chaplains, right? It's in the papers, in a newspaper, matter of fact. These things are documented. What am I saying? I'm saying that they are documented for those who come along later and do research, serious research about Westchester County. When did Islam come to Westchester County? Just imagine you Google that. When did Westchester come to Westchester County? There's going to be something in there about that because of the documentation. And this is Blog Talk Radio. This is documented. And quite nasty, God is the best knower. So we thank God for, I thank God for the different experiences that I went through in life. I thank God for our community. We had a very strong community early on. I can't speak too much for those now because I haven't worked with them, but the ones that I work with, very strong, very solid brothers who gave up many things that they could be doing for themselves to help establish the foundation for those who are standing on it right now. Whether they respect that or not, it doesn't make a difference. It already happened. And then lastly, as documentation go again, I was blessed to get Imam Warathi Muhammad with the help of our community broadcast of WBOX 1460 AM radio. But he was on for many years, 1990s, I believe we started the broadcast. Every week we had a different broadcast. We got our tapes from Chicago. They were processed by our brother and shipped to us, and whatever they sent us, those are the tapes that we put on. And Imam Warathi Muhammad, we probably can go online somewhere right now and see that documentation of Imam Warathi Muhammad in Nur Shell, New York, WVOX 14 AM radio. And as a result of that, I was able to come on with my own program. And that program is the same program that I'm continuing right now. This is your host, New Mind Development Project, focusing on issues of concern. And I was on for maybe 10 years from 2000 to 2010. And believe me, I didn't even realize it was 10 years. I have every tape that we produced. I have them right now, every tape, every broadcast, all the broadcasts of Imam Warthi Muhammad, all of his publications. I have all of these things. I saved them. And I often tell, if anybody need a copy or anybody have something that I have extra, feel free so we can pass it on. Because the language of Imam Warthi Muhammad is the language of Imam Warthi Muhammad is the language that's going to bring clarity to religion in the future. So I'm staying with Imam Warthi Muhammad. A lot of our believers who started out with Imam Muhammad today, they look like Arabs. They speak English with a Arab accent. Could you imagine that? African Americans. And then they wonder why people are not coming to Islam, why African Americans are not concerned with Islam. Because you look like an Arab. And they're not interested in hearing Islam as an Arab, from an Arab. Just like we're not interested in hearing a lot of things from Caucasians or Chinese or whatever the case. We want to hear these things from a source, our source, because we speak the same language. And as long as we continue to propagate the faith and propagate the mission of Imam Warthi Muhammad in America, then we'll see that Islam is not a religion of violence. Islam is a religion of peace, and Islam is the kind of religion that we could coexist with other religions or other people of peace and other people who are striving for excellence. We can work for that purpose. Keep in mind, the wars that are going on right now in Ukraine, this could turn into a World War III tonight or tomorrow. You know what a war is? Most of us, we see it on television. That's not war. Wars are when a person is dead. Gets killed, he's busted up, he's crushed, he's run over by tanks, his body's exploding, right? And this is the way of Satan, the devil. It's our responsibility to work for peace. And if we work for peace, we're working for our fellow man. And quite nasty, God is the best knower. So I thank you for your patience with me for this short time. And next week, we're going to speak on the Constitution. I'm not a scholar or anything on the Constitution, but I used to bring this up a lot on my radio show. I heard Imam Warthi Muhammad telling us before that he said, we are Americans. We are African Americans. We are free citizens in America, and the constitutional law applies to us. If you don't understand the Constitution, you're not going to be successful. There was a after slavery, the emancipation of slavery, 1885, I read this in a book. It said, the colored people read the Constitution until it became a part of their nature, because it was by the Constitution that they were going to really be free. Thank you, and I'm going to bring that up next week. And may God bless you, reward you and your family. Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.